Well, I want to thank, am I on? I want to thank Pastor and his wife and his family for inviting my daughter and I. This was Brittany's maiden voyage for preaching. And she, afterwards, she told Pastor, I just want you to know you'll always be my first. And to see the demonstration of all the prayers, of all the tarrying before God, of all the believing God, of all the times that you spent, that I spent in my closet, all the time wondering if, all the time that I traveled so many days out of the year for so long when they were so little, if they were going to be totally messed up or if there was any redemption here. And I can definitely tell you that God takes those things that you sow into your children, those things that you live before them, and he multiplies them. So I couldn't be prouder. And Pastor, we're just really grateful for you allowing us to come once again. We love being here. Pastor and I are, I would consider us good friends. You know, as you walk with the Lord starts taking that finger that he has and putting it on things in your own life. And sometimes you're just walking and you're going, ah, that isn't that bad. How many have those things in your life where you go, that isn't really that bad? And because comparatively, we always have somebody around us that we can look to support us because they're worse than us. Right? We can do that. But God put his finger on something in my life that was kind of a secret assignment of the enemy. And I grew up with it. And I see the spirit operating over this town. As I walk around, and here's what I see. I look at the levels of murder, I look the levels of suicide, I look at the levels of divorces, I look at the level of all kinds of mental issues and everything else, and you have a spirit operating here. Some call it Belial, others call it Belial, but I want you to know what it does, is it steals your value. So it works through unworthiness, it works through worthlessness, it devalues you. And a lot of us, because of our family of origin, we grew up in the place where we were always listening to something that was devaluing someone or something. How many grew up in some of those things? Where you would even, some of us go home from church and we'd be in our, you'd be in your living room with your family and they'd be talking about and judging the service and judging the pastor and doing all those things. Well, I want to tell you this. This spirit, it works through our own judgments. So I want you to turn with me, and I'm going to go over some scriptures, and you're probably familiar with them, but I want to just kind of unpack this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. And you're familiar with this. How many of you have read this verse before? How many of you have quoted this verse before? But how many have ever had the Lord take you into this verse and say, I want to examine what's in your heart? So it says this. It says, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. There's an interesting Greek word here for judge. It has two definitions. The word is krino, K-R-I-N-O. It carries with its definition this, Number one, to evaluate or make a decision. So we are going to have people that get on our last nerve. How many realize that? We're going to have that. And the Lord says here, here's what I want you to do. I want you to become very skilled at evaluating behavior. But I want you to stay away from thinking that you know what's in the heart of the person and what's behind the motive of why they did what they did. You see, this spirit of Belial is waiting for you to just enter into this thing to where you believe you know what the motive is behind why someone did something. But the Lord says this, he says, hey, that's my place. Your place is to evaluate, to investigate. And here's what else it says. But the second part of this is to condemn, to discriminate, and to operate in a way that is the opposite of rescue. So really what you're doing is you're devaluing somebody and you're throwing them away. How many have ever done that? How many have relationships in your life and they've done things and you've weighed the motives of their heart, you believe you know what the intentions were, right? And you mark them as evil, and then how many have ever just cut those relationships off? Let's be honest, right? You have a history in your life of just cutting off relationships. Well, what's happening there is that this spirit has moved you into the place of judgment. But I want you to know something here. It has a boomerang effect. It has a boomerang effect. And God is getting us into this place right now in the church where we are to be people that bless our enemies, those that persecute us. That's not normal. That's not natural for us. How many would agree? It's not easy. But here's what God's saying. I am giving you principles of freedom that will keep you out of this bondage, that will keep you from coming under the influence of these spirits that the community is already under the influence of. So that the Lord can just come to us and we can and we can begin to get into this, into these principles in our lives and adding these principles to our lives and knowing that the first thing we need to do is we need to evaluate, but we need to understand that that is a very emotionally mature position to take. He doesn't want us to be immature in our emotional intelligence either. How many believe that? So here's what it says. It says this. For with what evaluation you evaluate, you'll be evaluated. And with the measure you measure, it'll be measured to you. Because we must decide or evaluate things in order to comply with Jesus' instructions. This also prohibits a hypocritical evaluation. It is necessary to evaluate fruits and the actions of others. Matthew 7:16 says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Verse 17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. The works of the flesh are evident. How many have ever read those in Galatians 5:18 through 21? It talks about all of these things that you'll find in the system of the world, and I'm not going to read them all right now, but I want you to know these are the things that trip us up. When you read in there the works of the flesh, you need to open up your Bible and look at that and go, the works of the flesh, these are the things that are going to trip me up. Because so often we want to ignore the works of the flesh and we want to look at the heart and we want to examine the heart. But God's saying, I want you to be aware of what the works of the flesh look like. What do they look like? I should probably read that. I don't have that Bible here. Galatians 5, 18 through 21. Can somebody just give it to me and just hand me the Bible real quick? Thank you. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and he said, but let me read what he said first. He said, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying one another. Thank you. So Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Well, let's look at the sister scripture to this. Everybody turn with me to Luke 6, 36 and through 38. Luke 6, 36 through 38. It says, therefore be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn, which means to totally discriminate, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. That means to be released. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So what is he talking about there? He's talking about our emotional relationships that, if we give out judgment, guess what we're getting back? We're getting back judgment, but what you give away, you get back more. That's what the Lord's trying to teach us. What I give away, I get back more. If I give love, I get back more love. I get it back with an increase. If I give condemnation, I get back more. It comes back with an increase. So when I judge, it's going to be pressed down, shaken together, and it's going to come overflowing back into my life. So the Lord wants you to know that there's a cycle that's been started early in our lives. This thing's fading in and out again. Yeah, that's fine. Are you still with me? I think we got this now. So what the choice that we make of how we are going to respond to a personal issue is going to determine what's coming back to us. So many of us, we grew up in a place where there was all kinds of judgment all the time. where people were saying, well, they're doing this because their heart is wicked or they're evil or that's just who they are or whatever. It was never based on behavior. I actually grew up in one of those families that we sit around and we talked about everybody all the time. So I learned that. That got inside me. It was a way of my thinking. Okay? And then as I became a Christian, here's what I did. I didn't say it verbally anymore, but it still rose up in my heart. And this is what the Lord is saying right now. Not only am I concerned about what you say verbally and does it have a cause and effect on your life, but I'm concerned about what you don't say that rises up in your heart. Because these spirits will use these things to come against you and bring you into depression, bring you into discouragement. They'll bring you into fights in your marriage. They'll bring you into arguments that you never intended to have. That's what will happen. So the Lord is saying, can we begin to walk in a higher level of accountability and maturity and begin to do these things according to my word? So he's saying, what you give, you're going to get back. You're going to get more. Everybody say more. So what do you want back? If I ask you that honest question, what do you want back? Do you want more back of the things of the world or the things of the flesh? Or do you want more back the things of the spirit? Well, it's going to be all based on how you learn to possess this vessel that God's given you. How you do this. You still with me? Okay, so there's a law here. The law that is activated is the law of sowing and reaping that we find in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh and reap corruption. But it says this, but he who sows to the spirit of the spirit will reap everlasting life. And then here's what it says. It says, and let us not grow weary doing good, just like the Lord said today. For in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart. God is saying in the midst of this, give and it shall be given, right? Don't give condemnation, don't give judgment, don't give those type of things, but give love, give joy, give peace, give out of the fruit of the Spirit so we can have this ever-increasing fruitful base in our life. How many find you get depleted at times? How many find it's hard for you to find nice things to say sometimes? Here's what God's saying. Start giving from the fruit of the Spirit. Start giving out of the Spirit. Give love, give joy, give peace, give long-suffering, give gentleness, give kindness. It's not going to be an easy thing to do. It takes work. But he says here, do not grow weary in this process because you are going to reap. Don't grow weary. Continue to give. But a lot of us in our mind, in the schema of our mind, how we grew up is we grew up with judgment in there. We think we know what's behind the motives of somebody's heart. And God's saying we can't do that anymore. We can't do that anymore because it's coming back on us. And it's affecting our relationships, even currently, our family relationships, our relationships with our children, our relationships with our pastor, our relationships with our husbands and our wives and everybody else, because we think that we know the motive behind what they do. And God's saying, that's my place. That's my place. In 1 Samuel 16, 7, Samuel has gone to anoint the next king. You remember the story. And he's looking, and Saul was a head taller than everybody. So Samuel, he was looking at him and said, well, surely this is God's anointed in front of me. But here's what the Lord says. He says this, do not look at his appearance
or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, the flesh, but the Lord looks at his heart. What does Jeremiah say about the heart? Jeremiah 17:10, the Lord searches the heart. I test the mind, even to give each man according to the results of his deed. Psalm 139, 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Psalm 66:10, for you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. How is silver refined? Through fire. It's refined through fire. I want you to know something. Right now, everything in your life that can be shaken is being shaken. The process of what God is doing in the earth right now, there is a divine shaking going on. Because there is a city of God. And we've covered a lot of things with sand in our lives. And now God is shaking that. Those things that are not his foundation, that are not based on the solid rock. And God's shaking those things off of our life right now. He's sifting those things. And it's amazing how he's made room around our lives for that sand to fall through those crevices that God has allowed so he can just begin to shake us. And these things are beginning, that the gold of God in our lives is beginning to appear. You're beginning to see things in your life that you never noticed before. God is pointing out supernaturally things to you, gems that he has deposited in you that you've never seen before. See, the Lord doesn't want you to stay in that place of negativity. He doesn't want you to stay in that place of judgment. He wants to show you the jewels that he's put in your life already, but the judgment and everything else has been working to cover up the very things that God has wanted you to see that he's deposited within you. From very early, before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you and he deposited some things in your life to be carried out. So he's shifting you. He's growing us right now. Do you think people of the world are going to get better, or do you think their behavior is going to get worse? She said way worse. How many agree way worse? So we had better grow in some areas of our lives, because if they're getting way worse, that means the day of evil is increasing. That means the day of God's instruction is also increasing on how we are going to survive these pitfalls and these relationships so we won't come under the attack of the enemy. Let me tell you why I'm saying what I'm saying. Over the last several months, I've gone through my own trial where somebody has attacked a member of my family, bullied them, hurt them, and my response, my reaction was just, let's walk out to the football field. It'll only take 7.5 seconds and it'll be done. Right? Because I wanted retaliation. How many have ever wanted retaliation? How many have ever wanted revenge? Right? It's natural. I wanted it. I wanted to extend the right hand of fellowship to him. Right? And let me tell you what happened that was really troubling. This is why I'm talking to you today. The spirit over this town and what is going to take place, if we don't get these things in place, he's going to get us out of our place that God's been working to get us into. I don't want anybody else taking my place. Do you want anybody else taking your place? Or do you want to stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I don't want to become passive. I don't want to become bitter. I don't want to walk in unforgiveness because somebody mistreated me, because somebody offended me. So every time I would begin to pray to the Lord, I say, Lord, I just want you to take him down, take him out. A couple of times, just take him out, Lord, just kill him. That is so biblical, isn't it? Just kill him, Lord. You know I love you, Jesus. Just kill him. But I saw what I'd grown up with. I had marked him as evil. I was upset with his behavior, yes. But I'd marked him as evil. And when I marked him as evil, and when I wanted revenge, and when God said, that's the moment you judge him. And here's what would happen that just made me angry. Is the more I wanted God to get him, the more God protected him. How many of you have ever experienced that? Oh, it just makes you want to not praise the Lord. Throw down. So I kept doing that and kept doing that. And it's just like God would just come over. Nope. You've crossed the line here. You've crossed the line. Because you see, Daniel, vengeance is mine. It's mine. It belongs to me. It doesn't belong to you. You don't get to have vengeance. That belongs to me. And every time that you decide to take vengeance, that vengeance is because you've judged somebody. And you think you know their motives. So I judged him. I said, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? How many have ever been stirred up and something just doesn't, you just don't let it go? So I'm blowing up my phone. I'm doing all kinds of things. And then the Lord's saying, you need to settle down. And I go, you need to sit over there. And I'm blowing up my phone some more. But you see what the Lord's trying to do? He's trying to grow me up so that the enemy cannot use this weapon of warfare against me any longer. It's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to mature in this area. Because somebody behaves badly and we mark them and we say they are bad. And then God comes around them to defend them and he says, they're my son, they're my daughter. They may not know me yet, but I'm going to defend them. So God is talking about the things in your heart. So Matthew 5, 21 and 22 and verse 27 and 28, I want to read to you. You have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in her heart, or his heart. In our families, we grew up. Our caretakers, different things happened in our lives, and we learned how to judge. God wants us to know how to judge properly, how to examine, how to look at fruit and recognize that we'll know them by their fruit. And then when there isn't good fruit, the Lord wants us to be able to deal with these things in a godly manner. So they're not tweaking us. How many have ever been tweaked? Right. Luke 17:1. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Then he says this,
Take heed to yourself if your brother sins against you. Now I read that and I'm thinking, if Adam sins against me, he better take heed. Right? But the Lord's saying, take heed to yourself when someone sins against you. You now have this moment in time where you have to choose how you're going to handle this. It's that split second right there that God is wanting to bring before us and begin to call us on and say, how are you going to handle this? And it also goes on to say, if your brother repents to you, then forgive him. If he sins 7 times in a day and comes to you and repents 7 times, then forgive him. Said if he doesn't repent, reprove him. The Lord tells us how to handle these things. But you know what we do? Is we judge people, then we gather people around us, and then we talk about those things. And then it gives even more power to the enemy. So we know that Proverbs 18:21 says the power of life and death is in the tongue. How many believe that? So this is what God is saying to us. He's saying this. In this, right here, this is a town or a city. In this town, right here, you can walk around this town, you can look around this town, and you can see the power of the judgments and what they've done. And if this church is going to rise up and overthrow these spirits of this town, we are going to have to be people who no longer partake and agree with these spirits any longer. But when Satan comes to you with these things to tempt you, to isolate you and overthrow you, he must find nothing in you but Jesus Christ. You must find yourself, that the anointing of God is so on you and you're so trained that you don't even really have to think about these things anymore. You just go, I know what the principle of God says about that, and this is what I have to do. First of all, I'm going to acknowledge the behavior. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to examine it. I'm going to look at the fruit, right? But I'm not going to judge. But I'm going to reprove, which means to bring correction. And I'm going to rebuke if I have to, which means to bring a harsh correction. So what we do is we judge. We're no longer emotionally honest about the situation. And Satan moves right in. He moves right in. And God's saying, I want you to be bold and I want you to be brave in your relationships. And when somebody does something, I want you, first of all, to forgive them. But I want you to confront them in a godly way. And I want you to deal with these things right away. So many of us have been caught up by these things. And you say, well, no, I'm just negative. I'm not talking about pessimism here. I'm talking about destruction. Because you got to understand what a judgment does. A judgment, it causes you to put a significance on something and a value on it that God never intended for you to call it significance or put that value on it. And I will tell you this, in my own life, I've had things that have happened in my life, and I recognize this. It's the significance that I place on those events that determines this. Either I'm going to have an event in my life that causes me some emotional trauma, or the significance I put on it and the value I put on it and the time I invest in it is going to cause me a lifetime of torment.
Are you with me? So this Spirit, it causes us to move with it. It causes us to begin to judge, to begin to discriminate, to begin to be prejudicial. It causes us to do that. It causes us to not even think about these kind of things. You walk by somebody and you see something. The Lord wants you to do this. Lord, I just ask that you just extend your mercy to that person right now. Lord, I ask that you extend your grace to that person right now. Lord, I ask that you let that person feel your love right now. God's asking us to let his voice begin to permeate all these areas and invade all these areas of these private conversations that the enemy's been having all over this town that do not involve God. He's wanting us to be strong. He's wanting us to be bold. He's wanting us, when somebody even in our family is saying something, to say, no, I don't agree with that. I just bless them in the name of Jesus. It's my choice. And you heard what God said in here. What did God say? That he's good, right? How many times did he say it? Lots. See, that's the word that he wants us to carry outside these doors is, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good. But here's what they want to see. I've got to say he's good and actually have good behavior and actually have good values and actually have a good lifestyle. So when I'm saying he's good, they're responding back, yes, he is. He's good. But if I'm judging them and discriminating against them and prejudice, that's not a message of he's good. He's good. The Lord is asking us to break the assignment of this Spirit over our life once and for all. That we do not have the privilege anymore to talk about anybody. You know what I'm talking about? I don't like that person. Why don't you like that person? I have no idea. I just don't. Or they remind me of my mother, or they remind me of my father, or they remind me of my sister. You know what the Lord says? They were all created in my image. They remind me of my father. He's not saying negative things over them. So today I want to call you to this place. I want to break the spirit over this house. And it's not that everybody here walks in this, but it's we do it and we don't even realize we're doing it. So here's how I ended this thing. Can I tell you? The Lord said, you only have one course of action to take with this person. I said, what's that? It's not the football field? No, he said it's in a meeting. And in that meeting, you have freedom to rebuke him. But you have no freedom to judge him. You don't have no freedom to talk to him about the motive of why he did what he did that was behind his heart. So here's what it looked like. And I want to tell you, it looked like this. You know, I just want you to know that I and my family, we've suffered greatly because of your behavior. And I want you to know about the pain and the suffering that was caused. And I went on and said a couple other things. And you know what he said to me? He said, "I'm really sorry. Can you forgive me?" And you know what I said? I said, "Yes, I can forgive you." And it all went away. All the intensity, all the feelings, all the emotions, everything went away right at that moment. See, I want you to live in the place. God wants you to live in the place that you're not the carriers of a burden he never intended for you to carry. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. But the word says, when your brother offends you, be careful. That's the moment where everything begins. Be cautious. You still with me? Let me bring this to a close. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Romans 12:9. Start there. Go down. I'll go down through verse 12. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, reverent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. I don't know about you, but I really, in these end times right now, want to spend my day thinking about things that are pure and things that are just and things that are praiseworthy and things that are excellent. I don't want to be thinking about what somebody said to me or how they treated me or what they didn't do or how they did it or why they did it. I want to think on things that are pure. I want to think on things that are just. I want to think on things that are praiseworthy, the things that are loving. That's what I want to think on, excellent things. I don't want to spend all this time musing over things that are not godly. Amen. How many spend a lot of time thinking about things that are the opposite of that? That's our sign from God that it's time to make the shift and make the change. Because this Spirit has worked its way into our life. And this is like a three-part message, and I'm just condensing it for you. But I want you to understand this. We are spending too much time thinking about things that are not of God. So we're not as creative as we need to be. We're not having the supernatural dreams and visions that God wants us to have. The enemy is occupying those places over our mind, and the Lord is saying, I want to clear all that out right now, and I want you to be people who quickly deal with issues in your life so you can continue to move by the Spirit into the destiny that I have for you. Amen? I feel the presence of God. I want to say that again. I'm going to be 62. I spent a major part of my life thinking on things, not even that I'm completely aware of in my subconscious mind that I was trained to be in, that weren't kind. They weren't loving. They weren't exhortive. They weren't any of those things. And I want to say this first of all, to me. I'm not even talking about other people. I'm talking about how I talked to myself, how I treated myself, the judgments that were in my own life against my own self. And in this process, that's what God was destroying. He was destroying the enemy's right to have those places. And you know what it's helped? It's helped every single thing in my life. It's helped there to be a new fruitfulness. It's helped there to be a new peace. I don't get strung out over things like I used to get. I can let go of things now. Everybody say, let go. I can let go of things. I don't want the enemy having access to my mind anymore, or my will, or my emotions. I don't want the boomerang effect working in my life anymore concerning judgments. And I want to say this to you too. It does talk about this, that when I do something to Adam and I judge him, actually Adam's emotions and who Adam is, if he gets upset or offended, is going to bring it right back to me more than I gave it. It's going to be that personal relationship as well. How many have experienced that in your marriages and in your life? When you give it out, what happens? It comes right back. And it comes back stronger. I'm finishing up here. Still with me? We had help from the Lord today. He said, I don't know, I must have hurt him. It must have been 30, 40 times. I'm good, demonstratively. I'm good, 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 I'm good. But we're not telling ourselves God's good. We're not telling others God's good. We've got to change, first of all, how we talk to ourselves and treat ourselves and let God break the judgments off of the intrinsic part of us that does that. And then the next thing we've got to do is we've got to stop letting it happen externally around us and through us. So I want to invite you right now to break this assignment of the enemy. If that's you and you walk in that place, and you can choose to be honest or you can choose to be dishonest, but if that's you, I would stand up because the Lord gave me this message to bring it here, and I walked in a lot of places around here since I've been here, and I feel this spirit. It is so active and so strong. And it's releasing poverty, and it's releasing withholding, and it's releasing all kinds of diminished capacity over people's identity and what they think about themselves. So as a church, how many would rise up and say, I'm going to take a stand in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to come into a mature level of dealing with these things in my heart, in my life, because listen to me, my next generation depends on it. Our next generation depends on it. We got to break these things now. And you might say, well, my mother and my father, they trained me up and they taught me this, or my grandparents, or my caregivers, or whoever. But let me tell you something. Jesus is not supporting this. He's supporting think on things that are pure and just and loving and kind and praiseworthy. If there's any excellence over anything, think on these things. Amen. So if you're in, stand with me. Let's break this thing out. Just look around you. We all do it. We don't even think about it. It's become normal and natural for us. But as Christians, the Lord says, it should not be normal and natural for us. So why don't you put your hands up? I want you just to pray with me, Lord Jesus, I hear you. You know my heart. I'm not wicked. And I can learn. I'm teachable. So, Lord Jesus, right now, over my life, I break the curse of judgment. I ask you to forgive me. I repent. And whatever I need to do, and whoever I need to go to set things in order, to break the cycle of this spirit, in the name of Jesus, I will be obedient. Jesus, come, help me resist the schemes, the thoughts, the plans, the plots, the methodology of the wicked one over my life concerning offenses and judgments and how I handle them. Lord Jesus, I give your Holy Spirit permission right now to come into my heart and break the bondage, the yokes, the fetters, the craftiness, the subtlety of Satan. Come now and help me in the name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I stand in the gap for discrimination and prejudice and those things that have been released over this community, over this town. Lord Jesus, you are good. You are good. You are good. You are good. Lord Jesus, I want to taste your goodness in my mouth. I want to taste your goodness in my mouth. Cause your word to be sweet upon my lips. Cause your word to be sweet within me. Lord Jesus, I come against the spirit of Belial. In the name of Jesus, I will give you no further place. In the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Right now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I give you permission to set a guard, to set a guard, to set a guard over my mouth, over my mouth. Set a guard over my lips. And Lord Jesus, let me not be so externally sensitive. Just put your hands up one more time. Holy Ghost, I welcome you to come right now and heal me. Just heal me. Who? Holy Spirit's moving right now. You need a healing in your body. Just step out into the aisle right there, right wherever you're at right now. If you've made this agreement with the Lord, just step out right there, right now. Yes, Lord. Father, let your healing virtue just flow right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name that's above every name. It's going to be quick and it's going to be simple. Healing. Flowing. Yeah, now. Just be healed in the name of Jesus. Healed. Be healed. Healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Ma'am, right there, just take it. There's the anointing. Just be healed in the name of Jesus. Coming on your body right now. There he is right there. Just even more in the name that's above every name. The name of Jesus. And I say, be set free in the name of Jesus. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. Right now. Over your mind, your will, your emotions. Now, in the name of Jesus. There you go. There you go. Let it happen. There's plenty of power. Be healed in the name of Jesus right now. Right there. Right there. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. There's freedom for you right there. Right there. There's freedom right now. Just take it. You can feel it. I know you can feel it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let your healing flow right now in his body. In the name of Jesus. Whew, there's his anointing right there. Lord, just come. Come and release your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Just keep your hands up. Thank you, Jesus. How many in this house right now, the Lord's telling you there's been some backsliding in your life, there's been some things, and this message today has said, hey, I'm coming back. There's some things in my heart that I need to set straight before the Lord. Can I see your hands in here right now? I see them all over here. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I've sinned against you, but I hear you and I obey. Forgive me for my backsliding, for my obstinance, for my stubbornness. I welcome you right now to fully come into my life and take over. Because you are good. Because you are good. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel salvation in this house right now. How many have never prayed that prayer before? Just pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. The Son of the living God. And I'm a sinner. And I ask you right now to come into my heart and set me free and save me. I welcome you into my life right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There were several of them. Thank you, Lord. Can I have the worship team come? Where are we at on time? Pastor, are we okay on time? Homework. Everybody say homework. Did you have something? You good? So homework. When you're walking out to get in your car, I want you to begin, everyone you see, I want you just to look them in the eye and I want you to just go, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And I want you to get used to doing that. I want it to become part of your life. Amen. I just feel like the Lord just... We're going to worship just for a moment. And I just feel like the Lord, he's not quite done yet. So as this worship song comes, I want you just to sit under the words of this song. I want you just to let them begin to comfort you. I want them to be an aid to you. I want them to be a strength to your soul. Just let them come.
I am your God. you, Lord, that you are perfect in all of your ways. We're not, but you are. And Lord, we just want to line ourselves up with that in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we go through this week, help us to correct those thoughts. Lord, even as we do acts of kindness, that maybe that's where we should begin, with acts of kindness. Thank you, Father, you are good. Isaac, you've got something to share.
I just want to share something real quick. I'm just trying to be obedient. It's like the third time he's asked me, and it won't take long. It's just, I saw a picture during worship. I've been seeing it kind of over the last 3 weeks here at church, and it's a picture of the father, kind of the story of the prodigal son, where he's the prodigal's coming back, and I just see a picture of you're coming, and then the father's running to you. And then I just looked like today he was, at first you thought maybe he's angry. Maybe you thought he was disappointed. As he got a little closer, you could see he's smiling. And I just feel like he's singing over you. And I've never done this before, but just if I could sing that over today. You guys can play music. Can I try that? Sorry. You can keep playing. I just want to sing something. Father, thank you.
We're turning to you today, but you're already running.
Father, sing.
I'm running to you. I'm running to you today, my son, my daughter. I'm running to you. I'm running to you. I love your heart. I love your face and your smile. And I'm running to you. Let me sing over you. Let me dance over you. Let me speak my love over you. I'm taking your burdens now, taking your pain away. Let me be your father. Let me be your father. This is your day. This is your day. And you're mine. Yes, you're mine. You're mine. And amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his name. I'm glad the Father loves us. He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. So we just bless you today. We thank you today for being here. We thank you for being here this weekend. Lord, we thank you for Dan and Brittany, and we just speak blessing over them, health over them, strength over them, finances over them, Father. We speak blessing over all your people, God. As we apply your truth this week, God, we look forward to good testimonies, good things happening in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we just close this day by saying thank you, God. You are a good Father. You love us. You care about us. And so you share those things that are on your heart with us. We receive it today, God. We want to apply it today. And so we say thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Bless you. Feel free to have some cake at the end. Make sure you talk to this young man, his wife. Just bless them afresh and anew. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.
and say, Lord, you are good.
Compare with you.